Well, praise the Lord. Good to see all your smiling faces this morning. I'm glad that in spite of all the things that are going on around us, the Lord is on the throne and he knows what he's doing. So I just praise God. I had a verse come to me several times earlier this week and then just continually coming back to me. And so I'm going to go ahead and use it as a focus. The things I believe the Lord wants to use to encourage us. It's found in Isaiah 42. I'm going to go ahead and just read the passage and try not to get bogged down in getting to where I want to get. But this was one of many prophecies that God had given to people in the Old Testament. And, you know, we know from Peter's writings, on the one hand, nobody who prophesied like this, and it's recorded for us, did that because it was their own idea, their own interpretation. It was something that God overshadowed them to give. We also know that they didn't understand what they were prophesying. They just knew it was for something, somebody down the road, and it would all be fulfilled in its proper time. And so this was one of those prophecies. You know, people think they can unravel this with a natural mind. You can't do it. God has to unlock his word. You remember how the disciples even had no clue what was going on until he opened their understanding to see what the scriptures were really talking about in the Old Testament and how they were pointing to what we're experiencing today. So anyway, let's just go ahead and read beginning in verse 1. Here is my servant whom I uphold. Now, I think it's clear as you go along, this is the Lord, this is the Father talking, and he's talking about his Son who would be coming to earth. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is what the Lord says, God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. See, none of this was just about the Jews, was it? Always God's purpose was to work through them to ultimately reach everyone and bring forth one covenant. Praise God. To open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it. You islands and all who live in them, let the wilderness and its towns raise their voices. Let the settlements where Kedar lives rejoice. Let the people of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the mountaintops. Let them give glory to the Lord and proclaim his praise in the islands. The Lord will march out like a champion. Like a warrior, he will stir up his zeal with a shout. He will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. Well, he did, didn't he? Praise God. For a long time I have kept silent. I have been quiet and held myself back. But now, like a woman in childbirth, I cry out, I gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn rivers into islands and dry up the pools. Now, this is the verse that kept coming back to me. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. Praise God. What an awesome promise that is. And think about what the Lord was prophesying from a time that was dark, and the nation of Israel was certainly no one to be, you know, looking at and saying, wow, aren't they wonderful? It was a small remnant that kept serving God. In fact, you know, this book begins with, except the Lord had kept us, a small remnant, very small remnant, we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. I tell you, God has a way of preserving His plan and His people in every age. And that certainly is something we need to focus on right now, because we're in a very uncertain time, aren't we? But I thank God for His promises. And these promises, we're looking forward to the era of Christ's coming and all that was to follow. And it wasn't to just, it wasn't just the beginning and a great beginning. This was something that was going to continue all the way to the end. He was going to finish what He started, basically, is what He's saying. But there's an awesome promise here in verse 16. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. And I've sort of gone back and forth in my mind as to how to unpack this. But I think I'm going to begin with the object of this promise. Who is He talking about here? When He's talking about the blind, who is He talking about? Now, how many of you have a perfect understanding of all that's going to happen, all that's coming? You know God, you know the ins and outs of God's plan, and you can foresee your life going forward. You know all. No, none of us in that position. The reality is that we as people are part of a prison planet, a planet that Satan, the god of this world, where he has blinded the minds of men. We are blind. We just simply do not know. And the question is here, what kind of blindness is he talking about? My mind also went back to a scripture that's at the end of John chapter 9, I believe it is. This was an occasion when Jesus had healed a man who had been born blind. And so they were the religious leaders were trying to figure out what happened. What's this all about? I don't get this. And arguing with him, debating with him, were you really blind? You know, going on and on and on. Finally, the guy gets exasperated with him and says, now we know that God doesn't listen to sinners. And he goes on and just basically says that this authenticates who Jesus is. This is a man of God. And they threw him out. They got him out of there. So you had people who were absolutely resistant to the ministry of Jesus. It didn't matter what he did. They weren't going to believe. This was a problem of will, wasn't it? Okay? So then the man encounters Jesus again. I guess Jesus found him. And then, do you believe in the Son of Man? Verse 35. And who is he, sir? The man asked, tell me so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. So there was a real turnabout in every way in this man's life. But there's an interesting statement that Jesus makes in verse 39 that I believe reflects what we've been reading in Isaiah 42. Because in Isaiah 42, you have a promise of some wonderful blessings that are going to flow, of a plan that's going to unfold, but also of judgment. It's obvious there are opposers, there are enemies to what God has set out to do. And so Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world so that the blind will see and those who see will become blind. You know, when Jesus comes, when the Word of God comes to people, it makes a separation, doesn't it? It always creates a separation. There are some who bow to it. There are some who say, yes. And then there are others who will say, no. They harden their hearts to it. So there were a couple of Pharisees, there were some Pharisees who were with him, heard him say this and asked, what, are we blind too? And here's a verse that I believe unlocks something about what Isaiah 42 meant when it talks about the blind that he was going to lead. If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin, but now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. So what you have is a case of people who were spiritually blind. But then it comes along a light from God, a voice from God that tries to expose their condition and wants to open their eyes, and they say, no, I refuse. I can see just fine. You see, there's a problem not of ability to see, but of will. You know, imagine you were walking along and you saw a blind man walking toward a cliff. And in compassion, you walked up to him and tried to stop him and tried to warn him and say, there's a cliff coming. I can see it and you can't. Listen to me. What if he said, get away and leave me alone. I see just fine. I know where I'm going. Is that not a pretty good picture of the world that we're living in? That's the condition. So this blindness that we're talking about comes down to a place of will. When the gospel comes to you and to me, one of the things that it does is to expose our true condition of need. But human nature doesn't like that. Human nature does not want to admit that we are people of need and that we cannot chart our own, we're not capable of charting our own course, we're not capable of fulfilling God's plan. In every sense, we are dependent upon God and His mercy. There's not one thing we can do to qualify ourselves for anything that He has. So, do you begin to see what the Lord is talking about in Isaiah 42 when He's talking about a promise to lead the blind? Folks, I think the further you go, if you're listening to the Lord and you're learning from Him, the more we go, the more we come to a place where we realize, Lord, I am blind. I don't know. I don't know half the stuff I think I know. Lord, I need You. I need You to lead me. I'm in a place where I can. It's not like You can just tell me, here's where I want You to go now. Work up a plan and get there. This is not the way it works. The people that God leads are people who surrender, people who willingly recognize their need to be led. Oh, God. You know, you think about Abraham as the perfect example there in so many ways, the father of faith. Here's a man that God spoke to. And He gave him a vision. It's true, sometimes the Lord can tell us where we're going, but getting there is a different matter. He never says, work up your 5-year plan and let's see how it works out. You know, you can get there. Use all these natural abilities I've given you. You can fulfill that. No, there was a vision that God gave to Abraham, was there not? Leave your father's house, leave your family, leave your country, and go to a land that I will show you. And there was a promise of God, there is a land, but the Lord did not turn Abraham loose to just do his thing and, you know, like, go find it. The Lord had to lead him step by step. And so there was a faith in Abraham toward this God who had spoken to him. And so he was willing to do what the Lord said, to leave, to go, and God led him step by step by step and unfolded the promises that we are still experiencing the benefit of today, because it was in his seed that all nations of the world would be blessed. We're some of that. We're some of the result of Abraham believing God and trusting Him and being willing to take that place where he didn't know what to do. You know, that's something that we need. The further I go, the more I realize how desperately I need the Lord to lead me. And this isn't just personal, this is the church. Do we know what to do? Do we really know what to do? We're in an uncertain world. We don't know what's coming tomorrow. Folks, we need the Lord. And we need to have that sense that we need the Lord. You know, the Psalms tells us, don't be like the horse and the mule. Well, how do you lead a horse and a mule? You got to put a bit in their mouth and beat them. You got to do something physical to make them go to where you want them to go. You can't just explain, hey, this is where I want you to go. We need the Lord, and we need to have a heart that agrees with this. How many of you have known the Lord long enough, you see the difference between being like Peter when he was young, running and doing things in his own zeal, and coming to a place where you just think, oh, God, I don't know. I don't even necessarily want to go anywhere, but Lord, I'm in your hands. I'm just stretching forth. If there's anything going to happen, it has got to be you, Lord. But do you know that's something we need to learn? We need to have that as a people. We need to be a people who say, God, we don't know what to do. We don't know where to go. We don't know the future. But our place is to lift up our hearts and say, oh, God, we are trusting in you. When it comes to the things that are eternal, we are blind and we need a leader. We need someone to show us the way. Oh, God, help us. And, you know, you could sort of come to a place where you recognize, I just can't manage my life. I don't know what to do. Okay, Lord, I guess I'll trust you. You could do that almost with a grudging spirit. But I'll tell you that I believe the Lord wants. If we see Him, if we see things as they really are, shouldn't we come to a place not just of resignation, but a place of joy and rest and peace where we say, oh, Lord, what a privilege I have to be in that place that's safe. What a privilege I have to know somebody who cares about me like you've demonstrated you care. Lord, I don't know the way, and you do. And so I am resting. I embrace the reality of my own blindness and inability. I'm glad. You know, it's like Paul who had to deal with that with his weakness. We've used the scripture many times, where he came to a point where he gloried in his weakness. Well, we can glory in our blindness too, in this sense. There is an opening of our eyes to see things the world doesn't see, but in terms of, can I lead myself? Can I go forward? Do I have all that it takes to do what I'm supposed to do? No. I need Him step by step to lead me. And I embrace that with all of my heart. That's who He's talking about in Isaiah 42. Isn't it interesting? When you come to the end of chapter 9, it goes right into chapter 10. How many of you know there were no chapters and no verses in when John wrote this? So this simply moves straight into Jesus talking about the shepherd and the sheep. Well, of course, we know that sheep are very self-reliant, very strong, able to lead. No, sheep are very, well, we've often used the word stupid, but sheep are very dependent creatures. And so he's just been talking about a willful blindness on the part of these religious leaders. Now he comes and he talks about his people, his sheep, who know his voice. The Father has made them secure in Christ and in Himself. He goes on, he talks about all these things in the process. My sheep know my voice, they hear me, they follow me where I go. That's what God is. God's word comes and it makes a separation. But this is the people that are on the right side of this are the people who say, yes, Lord, that's me. I'm willing to lay down my pride, my self-sufficiency, all of this I can do it kind of spirit in a wrong sense. Lord, you are my sufficiency, and I am one who needs to be led if I'm going to get where I need to be. You are the only one who could steer me through this crazy world. And of course, the crazier it gets, the more you see that. You know, I've seen one article recently that mentioned in one particular country there were more deaths from suicide than there were from this COVID thing. And we know the effect that this is having on people's psyche. I mean, there's fear. There is just all kinds of a sense of despair, a sense of, I don't know what's going to happen. I can't stand this anymore. Oh, God has given us a place where He rules and He reigns and He leads, and the goal is secure in Him. Praise God. I just want to encourage all of us as a body. God is building a body, and that body consists of people who know Him, who have His Spirit on the inside. It consists of those who have come down off of their high horse and said, God, I am a sheep. I am blind in terms of knowing where to go. But my life is in your hands and I rest it. I joyfully trust you, Lord. I put everything in your hands. And we do as a people, as a congregation. Of course, it gets down to individual life, doesn't it? Because we're pretty good about making plans, having expectations about where we think things ought to go or we want them to go, and we're going to try to maneuver them in that direction. I believe with all my heart, God wants to bring us to a greater place of rest in the issues of our lives. You know, I appreciate Michael's request for prayer. I appreciate the gradual way he's approached all of this. I believe he wants the Lord. I believe we can stand with him in that. I believe the Lord has the plan, don't you? I believe we can rest in that. But oh, I'll tell you, you know, we think of, there's a scripture that we've used many times, and I'll just go ahead and refer to it quickly. It's Isaiah chapter 50. I know everybody who's been around a while has heard this one. Verse 10 and 11. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of the word of his servant? Let the one who walks in the dark, who has no light, what are they supposed to do? Trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. Is that not the picture of somebody who's blind? If you're blind, you need somebody to take you by the hand if you're going to get where you're going, because we can't see. And that's the reality of the position that we occupy. Human nature would tell us something different. The devil's blindness, the devil's efforts would blind us to the truth and give us the illusion that we can handle things and know what our life's supposed to be about. And it's absolute nonsense. We need the Lord. So here's somebody who comes to a recognition. They respect the Lord. They come to a recognition that I'm in a place where I just don't know what to do. I need you. What am I supposed to do? Trust in the name of the Lord and rely on their God. Many times that means just waiting. Of course, we're not very good at that. But there's a lot of faith that's necessary in that. Look at Abraham, how long he had to wait for a lot of things. But now, there's a word of warning. All you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go walk in the light of your fires and the torches you have set ablaze. This is what you shall receive my hand. You will lie down in torment. Folks, I need the Lord. I'm glad to acknowledge that I can do nothing without him. And I believe that's what he's looking for from his people. To bring us to that place where we not only recognize our need, but there's a joyfulness and a restfulness in doing it. So anyway, let's go back to Isaiah 42. The first word in that promise is I. So, you know, it's a pretty good idea to stop and say, well, now who is this that's making this promise? Is he somebody who can do what he says he's going to do? And I think it's pretty plain that he is. You go back through the passage and you see I am the Lord, verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another. See, the former things have taken place and new things I declare. Before they happen, you know, I announce them. But he talks about, I am the creator. This is what the Lord God says, verse 5. The creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. This is the ultimate source of all. This is the God of the universe who is making this promise, not just in some vague general sense. He's making this promise to you. And you, and you, and you, and me this morning. I've sensed this in my own heart, the Lord wanting me to come to a greater place where every issue of life I can put in his hands. And there are times when, yeah, he wants me to step out. But he can let me know that. But there are other times he wants me to just put issues in his hands and not struggle and strive and plan and work and do all the things that we do to try to run our own lives. We just come to a place and recognize that this God has promised to lead me. This God who is said of Abraham, this is the God who can call those things which are not as though they were. He doesn't need anything to make something happen. He can create something out of nothing. What a God. I'll tell you, You want to trust yourself in this kind of crazy world? Yeah, you're going to have a lot of heartache if you do. And God loves you and He loves His people. And He wants us to understand this simple principle. Oh God, help me to do it. Help me to understand it. What an awesome word that second word is. I will. You talk about will. You talk about something that is meant to be certain. Are we not talking about a God who, by His own declaration says He cannot lie? I don't tell lies. If I say I will do something, there is a determination in His heart that you and I need to find rest in. This is not I will if. This is not if you measure up, I will. This is not a bargain. This is a promise. This is a one-sided thing where, yes, there's a condition in the sense that we need to give ourselves to Him and put our trust in Him, but in terms of our performance, folks, every one of us, to one degree or another, are victims of our own performance or lack thereof. May God help us. Think about what He said earlier when He anointed His Son. Some of the things that He said, He will not cry, will not shout or cry out or raise His voice in the streets. A bruised reed He will not break. Do you feel like a bruised reed sometimes? Man, I'm a mess. I have messed up. Things are not right, not like they're supposed to be. God's going to get tired of me. He's just going to break me and throw me away. Say, there's no use. This isn't going anywhere. This is worthless. But that's not the kind of a God we serve. Praise God. A bruised reed He will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out. Here He's looking for a candle to give light, and the candle is just kind of smoldering and not quite getting there. Is this kind of a God who's going to look at that and say, heck with that, throw it out? No, He's not going to snuff it out. He's not going to snuff you out either. If you put your trust in Him, this is a God who can take our weaknesses and bring forth strength. That's not an encouragement to give in and be weak. But this is a God who understands what He's dealing with. And He's dealing with a mess when He's dealing with me. And you too. Every single one of us. We are a lot deeper sense of need. We have a lot deeper need than we understand. Boy, we need the Lord. But oh, what an awesome God He is. What a spirit He's portraying here. A bruised reed, a smoldering wick. In faithfulness He will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till He establishes justice on earth. This is somebody who sees your need and mine this morning, says, I'm not giving up on them. They put their trust in me. I'm the one who's going to bring them through. Yeah, I may have to lead them in all kinds of ways, but I know how to do it. I know where the goal is. I know how to lead them. And of course, that's the next word. He says, I will lead. You know, we think of, you know, leading has to do with some place where you haven't been yet. It's out ahead of you. He's not just talking about a physical path, like I need to be led down the steps here. This is into the future. There's something interesting, though, about God that I think we need to recognize and need to focus on for a moment. When you and I think about history and written history, what are we talking about? Something has passed. And someone's made a record of it, so we have a knowledge of events that are in the past that cannot be changed, that we can know about them, and that's about it. But history, to us, is past. But is that the way it is with God? Yeah. I remember my mind went back to a message I preached a number of years ago, I think now, and it was called The Book of Truth. And if you want to read through Daniel chapter 10 sometime, that's where the reference is. But Daniel came to a point in his life where he felt the need to seek God to understand some things. God had shown him things, and there were questions in his mind, and he set his heart to seek God, and he engaged for 3 weeks in what people have called a Daniel fast. Basically, he just didn't eat all the tasty, good, rich stuff. He just ate very plain food. But during that time, he set himself to pray. And at the end of the time, an angel comes to him and said, Daniel, from the first time you set your mind to pray, I was sent. And then it unlocks the fact that there was a spiritual battle, something that happened. There was a demon prince that withstood him. There was a battle that took place, and finally the angel came to Daniel to reveal some things to him. But in the process of revealing this, he made an interesting statement. He said, I've come to show you things that are written in the book of truth. And then what he began to show him were things that had not happened yet. What does that tell you? When God talks about history, what is he talking about? He's talking about everything that ever has happened or will happen. God's history has already been written. Now, does that mean that he has predetermined everybody's reaction? We are just pieces on a chessboard and God just simply... Or is God so great that he knows how to take everybody's choice and weave it together into a perfect plan? See, God is sovereign, but boy, we are responsible. You see that everywhere. The choices are made, and what happens as a result of those choices is you can't blame it on God. Say, God made me do it. Well, we need the Lord, don't we? But think about the greatness of a God who doesn't have to say, this is where I'd like to take you. I don't know how we're going to get there, but I'm going to be with you. This is a God who knows this afternoon. He knows tomorrow. He knows the next day. He knows everything that will ever happen on the path between here and glory. Think about what Paul said and how he put it. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, I forget, what did he sanctify them in there, in that particular verse? But anyway, he winds up, those he sanctified or set apart, he also glorified. What verb tense is that? That's the past tense, isn't it? So here's God declaring something about you and me sitting here. We're not glorified yet in the process of time. And God is looking at you and me and saying, I have glorified them. See, this isn't just, I need somebody to guide me. I take that place of need. But think about who this is and what he has declared. And how he knows every detail of your life that hasn't happened yet. Do you want his plan or yours? See, we know what to say. But learning how to take this place in everyday life is a challenge, isn't it? We need the Lord. But oh, what an amazing, amazing God that we have. And you think about what it means to lead. Well, let's go along down to what he says. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. What does that tell you? Well, one thing it tells us as a group, we can't sit here and build a tradition, carry it out, and think everything's great. We are a people on a pilgrim journey. When God led his people out of Egypt, he led them in all kinds of places, for one thing, but also the entire journey was one in which they were dependent upon him in every way, for their food, for their drink, for where to go, for when to go. You remember the rule, the pattern was that when the presence of God would settle on the tabernacle, and when it did, or it settled on a place, they were supposed to camp there. And if that lasted a month or two, that's it. You don't say, I'm tired of this place, I want to leave. God's presence was there. But there came a day when that presence lifted off the tabernacle, and everybody knew what to do. They had a prescribed order for packing up, who gathered their stuff, and how the order in which they marched out, and they followed that cloud. Folks, we need that same principle operating in our lives as an assembly today. Individually and as an assembly, we need the Lord. Amen. The further I go, as I say, the more I feel my total need of the Lord. I see things I'd love to see happen, but I can't make anything happen. We just need the Lord, but we need to be as a people to covenant together with that sense. Oh God, we need you and we want you to lead us. No conditions attached. Just tell us what we're supposed to be doing or not doing, how we're supposed to do it. Send your anointing in whatever way and whenever you want to do it. Lord, we don't want to say, this is what it's supposed to look like. Come down and fulfill our vision. We want his vision. Do you believe he wants to lead us? I do too. I want to be a people that just don't follow tradition. I mean, God did some amazing things over 50 years ago now. But this work is not built upon just preserving that and talking about it and making a big deal out of that as though that's the foundation of everything. Christ is the foundation. What he's doing and saying right now is the foundation. We are living in a different time, in a sense, than we were right back then. We're seeing, the unfolding of things the Lord revealed back then. And we need the Lord to lead us right straight through it. I do. And I feel my need more and more the further we go. I hope I'm not the only one. I don't believe I am. But I believe this is something God wants to stir up our attention about and say, God, and say, Lord, I want my people, the Lord's saying, I want my people to know the real deal, not to go to sleep and lose touch with what's really happening, but to always, and not to give into the fear, not to give into all the zeal that wants to make plans or wants to, this is how it's supposed to be, or all the things, the reactions that we have, humans beings have. I just want people who look to me every single day and trust me. Because that's the people I'm going to take to the other side. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. That's exactly what happened in the wilderness. And folks, we are in a wilderness here too, just as much as they were. And I'll tell you, God is going to take care of the things that happen. I will turn darkness into light before them. Interesting to put that in the same promise, if you will. When he's talking about being blind and then he's saying, I'll turn darkness into light. But you see what he's talking about. I'm blind when it comes to being able to lead myself in spiritual matters, in eternal matters. I do not have the ability inborn to do that. I need God. But there are times when he will open my eyes and see, to be able to see this or see that. And I'm going to be able to see things the world can't see. Not because they can't, but because they won't. I want to be somebody whose will is surrendered in this area, who knows where my help comes from. And this is a promise of God. If we need light in an area, God has promised to give it. And we need to remind him of that and say, Lord, we don't know, but we believe you. We are trusting in you. And the problem is in your hands. We're just going to rest it there. Cast your burden upon the Lord, the scripture says, and he will sustain you. Folks, we don't have to go around anxious. We don't have to go around worried about tomorrow and worried about what's going to happen. We can put all of our tomorrows in his hands. The history of your life has already been written. Didn't David say the same thing? All of my days have been written in your book before any of them came to be. What a revelation. Man, he knew something that only God could show you. I will, again, that strong, definite sense there. I will turn the darkness into light before them. When we need to see something, God can pull the veil back and let us see. I believe he's shown us many things already, but I believe that everything we need to see, he is going to open up and make the rough places smooth. Now, I know none of you ever have any rough places in your life, but I'll tell you, we've got a God who can take us through whatever is appropriate in our lives. And you know, when we get in rough places, what does our nature drive us to do? Well, get out of it. Deal with it with natural wisdom and natural energy. But think about how God dealt with his people Israel. Did he not allow them to be trapped by the Red Sea? How did they get there? He led them there. He led them to an impossible place. So did that mean he was mad at them and wanted to destroy them? No. He wanted to bring them to a place where there was no answer but God. And so Moses obeyed the Lord, lifted up his rod, and God did the rest. That's what God is doing in our lives. If he has brought you to a place that's impossible, there's no human answer, you don't know what to do, this is the time when God can shine. God will lead you and me into places like that. And he will never abandon us there, those who put their trust in him. It is not a tragedy. It's an opportunity for God to show us who he is. And we need to lift up our eyes and look to him. I mean, how many times did Moses come to that kind of a place? Oh, God, you got me out here and it's a mess. What am I supposed to do? My presence will go with you, God said, and I will give you rest. Folks, that's all we need. Think about David in the 23rd Psalm and how the Lord was, there again was something about a shepherd and a sheep. You had that same imagery going on where there's a shepherd and I'm just a sheep. I don't know. But he leads me. Some of it's good places, still waters, plenty to eat. But it's not all good, is it? By our measure. Sometimes it's through the valley of the shadow of death. And yet David's sense of the Lord's love and compassion for him, even in that kind of circumstance, was such that he was able to say, I will fear no evil. Now, why could he say that? Why could he say, even if I'm in the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid. I refuse to be afraid because you're with me. Do you know there's a God who is with you? Do you want to be one that that rests in your hope in him and puts your trust in him, puts your trust in this promise? This is a good promise to quote to the Lord. Say, Lord, this is what you told me. I fit the bill, Lord. I'm blind. I don't know. I can't handle life. But you promised to lead me. You promised to smooth out the rough places. You promised to turn light, darkness into light before me. Lord, I am just putting my hope and my trust in you. And these are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. Boy, what a positive promise. I mean, right from the beginning to the end. I didn't know how long, how this was going to go this morning. And it seems like week after week, the Lord puts me in this same place. And I'm glad he does. I've gotten to a point where I say, Lord, it's okay. It's more than okay. I thank you because I thank you for my weakness. I want to take the position Paul did, where the only way you can get anything done that means anything is for me to get out of the way. And I guarantee there's a lot more of me that needs to get out of the way. But do you know God has this truth applies to every member of the body of Christ? Is he leading you in a challenging place right now? I suspect a lot of people could nod their heads and say, yeah, it is. I'm full of uncertainty. I don't know how tomorrow is going to unfold. Well, I serve one who has already written that history. I serve one who's not only written it, but he's promised to lead me through it. And not only has he promised to lead me through it, he understands who I am and how weak I am. And he's not basing his willingness to do all this on my qualifications. I don't have any. But oh, what a glorious gospel we have for something to be able to, it's such a time in history, let alone any time, but especially now, to be able as a congregation, as individuals, to say, God, my life is in your hands. I am trusting in you with every issue of my life. I refuse to let the devil fill me with fear. I don't know the way, but you do, and my hope is in you, and this is your word, Lord. You told me you would lead me, and so the ball's in your court, Lord. I'm looking to you. Praise God. It's something you could go on, but I think I'm going to go ahead and sit down today. Perhaps there's someone else that has something from the Lord. If not, we don't have to be here to a certain time. But how many of you want to be a recipient of this promise? How many of you need to be a recipient of this promise? Both hands. But oh, what a promise. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them. That give you comfort and hope this morning? It does me. That's my only hope, really. You know, the more we go, the more the Lord brings us to a place where we recognize our limitations, that we can't trust in ourselves. But he doesn't do that to discourage us, but rather to turn our trust where it needs to be in the first place. Oh, when he gets done, we'll be his children, shining with the glory of heaven. But he's the only one that knows the way. That story is written. We need to make the right choices, and I'll tell you, it's going to come out just exactly the way it's supposed to. He knows the way. You know, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Praise God. Praise God.